This is Heather Dubrow's World, and now you can live in it two times a week right here on Podcast One. Welcome back, everybody. Today on my show, I have someone that I admire so much, and she and I have not met, but I just think she's fabulous, and I love her story, and I can't believe how much she's given back, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. Please welcome Kendra Scott.
Oh, Heather, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be on your podcast today.
Oh, awesome. You know, it's funny. Did we meet a long time ago?
You know what? I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. And I was like, were we at an event or a charity event or something
yes.
in LA? Like, I feel like we have at some point, or it's just that your personality is so infectious and amazing that I feel like we're friends already. So that could be too.
Well, you're the cutest thing ever. I feel the same way about you. So let's just say if we haven't met, we need to immediately. And
exactly.
But you know what's so funny is that I've always been a fan of yours and your line and everything. And actually, the first time that I think I was in your store was actually at a charity event in your store in Newport Beach at Fashion Island. And
I love that store.
It's such a great store. And my Terry, my husband's cousin, was running a charity event and she invited us over. And you know, I ended up shopping and it was really fun. It was a great event. But I knew that you did a lot of charitable work, but I really didn't realize how involved in community and giving back you are until I kind of took a deep dive. So it's really very impressive. But before we get to that, I would kind of love to scroll back to the beginning, because I get so many questions from women, especially young women, who really want to start businesses and really want to do something themselves. And you've been able to do this from a very young age with young children. So start from the beginning and really tell me how you got interested in being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know, I'm originally from Wisconsin. You know, the land of farmers, factory workers, and not necessarily fashion designers at all. But I was thankful that I have this amazing, loving family and two parents who really taught me by example that if you work hard, if you lead with, you know, passion, and that you treat people kindly, that really you can do anything. And, you know, we were that family that always had an extra plate at the dinner table. My mom grew up in a farm with no running water. She had eight brothers and a sister. They all worked in the fields during the day. And then my uncles would work in the mines at night. And so I think, you know, going and visiting them and just seeing that example, when people would say, oh gosh, you worked so hard, I'd be like, oh no, let me tell you what hard work looks like. And just seeing them kind of work literally morning until night was just a huge example for me of understanding kind of work ethic. But my Aunt Jo, being in Wisconsin, again, not the most fashionable in the world at that time, but my aunt was a director for a department store called Gimbel's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, and I know Gimbel's, yeah.
You do? Oh my goodness. Well, most people don't. So I'm excited that you know it. But
I do.
She worked her way up from just, you know, sales clerk working in the store. And then she became, you know, over time, worked through the ranks and became fashion director. And back in those days, most of the higher up people within fashion, even in women's fashion, were men. So most of the fashion directors were buying, or the head buyers were men buying for women. And you even see that with fashion designers themselves. There's so many men, right, that
right.
are fashion designers for labels. So my aunt was kind of this unicorn there and really just was such an example to me of, and she was so fashionable and so beautiful and all of those things, right? And she would come back from going to the shows in Milan and Paris, and she would sit with me and she would talk to me about her job of having to take these couture looks and make them something that every woman could love and enjoy. And I remember, you know, going in her closet and putting on Donna Karan cashmere, you know, sweaters
wow,
and her jewelry. And being like, oh my gosh, this is magical. If, you know, you can be anyone you want to be. And fashion to me, just there was something about it that just made me feel like I could transport to anywhere I wanted. And the idea of seeing the world and also just that feeling of what you get when you put something beautiful on, how clothing or accessories actually can make you feel. It's was pretty transformative for me. And I think that's when I knew at a very young age, that's what I wanted to do, was to be in fashion. And then my mom, she was in Mary Kay. She was her own little entrepreneur and started a business out of our little, you know, right outside of our, you know, where we had our washer and dryer. She had set up her rack of things. And so I'd see her. She became a director. She had 40 other consultants underneath her, but she was also such an attentive mother and, you know, so amazing to me and my siblings. And, you know, I think those examples of strong women in my life, both my mother and my aunt, were something that really was embedded inside of me, that they showed me that you can overcome obstacles, that you can do things that, even when they're hard. And I think, you know, those things really led me to have that entrepreneurial spirit.
I love that. That's so amazing. You're so fortunate to have had that. I mean, that's just really, they're like the ultimate mentors, which I just think is incredible. So you start your first business. I'm fascinated by the hat box. So you're 19. And what I love is you're telling me the story and I'm hearing about your aunt at Gimbel's and going to Milan, and you decide of all things to open up in your town a hat store. And not only are you starting a hat store, which is so me, I love hats and I love accessories, but it's such a throwback. I mean, it really is. I'm so curious why you chose hats. Was there a need for hats? And how did you all of a sudden like decide to choose hats and do a charitable component to it right off the bat? I mean, this is a long time ago. People weren't doing this.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, I was 19. And I think, you know, if we can remember back to our 19-year-old selves, I have a son who's turning 19 next week. And he reminds me so much of how I was then. It's like this idealist, and you want to make an impact. You want to change the world, right? You've got all of this energy and enthusiasm, and you're a new adult into this world where you finally feel like, my voice matters. I can make a difference. I can do something. And, you know, at 15, my whole life changed. My stepfather got diagnosed with brain cancer, and he was a two-tour Vietnam veteran, a Purple Heart recipient. He Wow. spoke five languages fluently. He was so handsome and charismatic. And it just was like, I couldn't even believe that this could be real, that someone like him could have brain cancer. And so from 15 till this kind of 19, when I started this business, my real focus was spending as much time as I could with him, being there for my mom. We spent countless hours at MD Anderson. And, you know, while he would be in sometimes 7-8 hour surgeries or procedures, you know, I would wander around and I would meet some of the other patients. And many of them were women who were undergoing chemotherapy and really not just fighting for their lives, but also they had kind of lost a part of themselves through all of this. And we know as women, losing your hair is, you know, can be traumatic, right? And, yes. and you're also, you know, and so I had loved hats since I was young. This came from my aunt. I think I did love the throwback of them, the mystery of them. I was a huge Audrey Hepburn fan.
Yeah.
And I just remember, you know, thinking like a woman who wears a hat. I mean, even if you remember the 1980s movie Pretty Woman, when she puts on that hat and goes
iconic.
To the polo mat.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Iconic. It's just, and walking down Rodeo Drive, like to me, that was the ultimate look of like a lady. Like what I dreamt of is like wearing a hat. And just, I know when I would put them on, like I, again, felt like I was Audrey Hepburn. So I had this hat collection, and a lot of them were wool and not comfortable. So I actually sewed cotton linings inside some of these hats, and I brought them to some of the women at MD Anderson and gave them to them, and just saw how they lit up and how it made them feel. And in that moment, it was kind of like, well, why aren't there more hats? So then I wanted to find more hats.
Right.
And I wanted to figure out how I could do this. And there were no hat stores anywhere. And finding hats were really, really difficult. And again, this idealist brain, I thought, well, clearly I need to open a hat store. And
oh my gosh. Sure what did your family say? Did they think you were crazy?
Well, you know what? I think they've always known I was a little crazy. No, you know, it was funny. I think all of us, when you have things like that happen in your family life, when, you know, someone you love is, you know, battling a disease like cancer, life just becomes different. Your perspective on things become different. And so I remember telling my parents, look, I want to take a year off of college. I want to do this hat thing. I want to get it started. I'd like to be able to help women undergoing chemotherapy and men. And I want to get the business kind of going. And then, you know, I'm just going to still go. I'll take night courses. I'll do whatever. I'll finish my degree. And my parents were surprisingly super supportive. And they really, I think, believed in me as far as, you know, they knew I was a fighter and that I wasn't going to give up. And my dad was like, look, like, here's some money that I'd set aside for college. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough for me to buy some inventory, get my lease signed in a little hat shop here in Austin, Texas. And, you know, that's really like, that's, you know, I really just was like, okay, like, let's give this a go. Having no idea what in the world I was about to embark on and how crazy this was. But what happened, and I'll share with you one thing before we kind of move on to the rest of the story, is, you know, my stepfather was at a point in his battle where he was in a wheelchair. The man who spoke five languages could only get a few words out in a sentence. He could understand everything you were saying, but the damage to his brain from the radiation and the surgeries and the cancer had just taken its toll on him. But he was there. He just he couldn't get the words out. And I remember when I opened my store, I wheeled him in to show him, and I showed him the dressing room I had set up so women could privately try on hats if they had lost their hair and didn't want to be in the middle of the store. And right. He was just beaming. I mean, the biggest smile you've ever seen, tears in his eyes. And he wanted to tell me something. And many times I would always just try to find the words for him so he wouldn't get frustrated. And I would say, it's okay. I know you're proud. You don't have to say anything. And he said, no, like in his military, you know, voice, like he was going to get this out. And he said three words to me, and they were, you do good. And, those three words really changed my life. And I get emotional every time I say them because I can hear him, his voice, just like it was yesterday. And I know what he meant with that. And it was use, and he had told me before, use the gifts, the talents that you have been given to do good. And he died when he was 47. I'm 46 years old. And I just felt like that was what I needed to do. That was my mission in life, is do something I love, which was fashion and design. And at the same time, do something good, do something to help other people in the process. And that's where the foundation of not just that business, but Kendra Scott really formed from, was in those three simple words.
Well, I think that's just amazing. I mean, truly his legacy lives on with you. And, you know, I love that you still get emotional about it. You just made me very emotional. I think, you know, again, to how lucky to have had such an incredible family. I mean, just really unbelievable. So tell me, so what happens with the hat box? So you ended up closing the hat box after a few years.
Yeah. So shockingly, Heather, it wasn't 1940, and people.
By the way, I just want you to know, you and I are very similar. I'm telling you, like in high school, I wore capes. I had hats. I'm so that person, totally born in the wrong era.
Okay, so when we do meet up in person, we're meeting wearing hats, and hey, I'll wear a cape too. I'm happy to do it.
I'm in. I'm totally in.
Yeah, kindred spirits over here.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
I love finding great things for Terry and Nikki because they're very hard to shop for. And when they're like, hey, I need new shorts to work out, I'm like, okay, let me go through the usual suspects. But then I found 10,000 products. 10,000 makes the highest quality, best fitting, and most comfortable training shorts. So I gave Nikki their 7-inch interval shorts and a hoodie, and he loved it. The interval shorts are lightweight. They're extremely versatile, and they're great for anything from like high intensity interval training workouts, spinning, short runs, and he likes to pump iron at the gym. They're packed with great features like a no bounce phone pocket, permanent anti-odor treatment, and
premium anti-chafe liners. 10,000 Gear is a great gift for any guy in your life, significant other, brother, father. They have gear for all types of workouts. 10,000 is a direct-to-consumer company, no middleman, so you get premium fabrics, trims, and techniques that other brands simply cannot afford. The fabric feels really luxe and high quality. A team of over 200 athletes test their gear to ensure the perfect design, fabric, trims, and fit. Plus, they have over 10,000 five-star reviews. 10,000 is offering our listeners 15% off your purchase. Go to 10,000.cc and enter code Heather to receive 15% off your purchase. Now you write it out. That's 10,000.cc and enter code Heather.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
Yeah, so after 5 years of literally running that little shop 7 days a week, morning to close, calling my dad, crying, and my mom being like, I only sold two hats today. You know, it was so hard and, you know, such a struggle and trying to figure out how I was going to pay my rent. And I needed to get, I had one part-time person. My mom would help in the store. During this process, I lost my stepfather. So he lost his battle. And so all of the things that were really motivating me to do this, it was just, I felt like we're just crumbling and I just could not make a success out of it. But being as determined as I was, it was like, I'm not giving up. If I have to sell my car, if I have to eat top ramen for the rest of my life, I'm going to make this work. And it finally came to that point where I had to realize this is not going to work. And that is such a hard thing, I think, for any entrepreneur is to, one, have, you know, the realization that perhaps I needed to do something different. But I was so focused on that the hats had to be the answer that really I wasn't paying attention to what was working. And I was making jewelry for my little hat store. I was making hat pins and I was making, you know, necklaces and earrings out of semi-precious stones, which I loved color and I couldn't find what I wanted. And those things would sell almost immediately. But it's so funny that you can become very, you lose your sighting sometimes when you just get so laser focused on something you can't see. It's like seeing the forest through the trees kind of thing. Yeah. It was exactly that for me. Yeah.
I think a lot of us have that problem, especially because I think to some degree we're taught never give up. And people say things like, you know, the most successful people were about to give up. And then it happened. So it's really, I think that's just such a hard lesson to learn, to really be able to read the universe and see the next step and be able to pivot like that.
Absolutely. And I think that gave me, you know, why we're sitting here talking today and why I've got this brand is because that little hat store was the greatest education. I mean, I never ended up going back to college, which was my plan. That became my MBA, right? That became college. And I learned every lesson, the most difficult, painful way you could through running that business. All the things, there was a few things I did right, but a lot of things I did wrong. And I'm so grateful because if I hadn't had that failure, and you hear this so much from entrepreneurs, and I think that's such an important thing for people to understand is that, you know, you can't be fixated on what doesn't work. You have to look at the lessons that are there. And then many times this will be the bridge, that failure, that struggle, that divorce, that whatever it might be, may be lessons and tools that you're going to learn to be able to cross the bridge to get you to the next place you're going in your life, the better place. And all of those things are going to be in your tool belt now to be able to overcome those next obstacles that get in your way.
I think that's brilliant. And so how does one surround themselves? Because I mean, obviously you've built an incredible brand, but you go from your hat box and you're selling your jewelry and that starts taking off. How do you know how to surround yourself with the correct people to be able to build your business?
You know, I think that's a great question. When I started my jewelry company in 2002, I had a newborn baby. It was right after 9/11. And after the failure of the hat box, I quite honestly wasn't going out there screaming from the rooftops that I had started a new business because I felt like people would laugh at me because I had already had a failure.
Right.
So I really just kind of did it very slowly. I went store to store with my little tiny collection and my baby and, you know, and then, you know, people loved it. And my big thing was customer service. I remember with the hat stores, I'd get an order and if hats wouldn't sell, the manufacturers could care less. I'd call them and be like, is there any way I could exchange this out for this? Nope. That was your purchase order. Good luck, sister. You know, and I remember that I felt so isolated and I didn't have any support. So when I started my line, started selling to other stores, I wanted to be the opposite and take that experience of, hey, I'm here for you. If something's not working, I'll replace it. I'll come do trunk shows. I'll get the excitement up with the customer. Call me if you need anything. Going in there, merchandising their cabinets for them, like finding cool displays to put the jewelry on so it stood out within their boutique or their store. And it was that, I think that is why I started to have success. It wasn't just, here's my line, here you go, write an order. I was so engaged in the customer side of the business. And I knew for me, I wanted to create something that allowed me to be the best mother to this new little baby that I had. I wanted to get back in fashion and design so badly. I missed it desperately. And I wanted to do something good. And so, you know, I started it with, if anyone needed, you know, nonprofit needed an item for a silent auction or a raffle, right, that I would never say no, that I could make it. I, with my own two hands. And even when I was just trying to get started again, I was going to do that. And then slowly as things went on, I'm like, okay, I started training one of my friends on how to wire wrap and help me produce orders. And it was out of necessity at first. And I was hiring people, design assistants. I started hiring a production assistant that had my shared my core values. And my core values were family. I wanted people around me that respected that I was a mom first, that I was going to pick my kids up from preschool every day, that I was going to have them in the office with me, and I would be okay if they did the same. And I wanted them to be passionate about fashion and design. And I also wanted them to have a giving heart, that giving back to the community was important to them. And so I hired people based on those three requirements, not necessarily the gold-plated resume. I thought I could teach people skills like wire wrapping or, you know, certain things I could train them, but I couldn't train heart. Yeah. And so from day one, I hired on heart, and I still do to this day, 18, almost 19 years later.
I think that's so cool. And I love the whole idea of the customer service and the grassroots, because I've always felt, even in the age of social media, I think people miss the point that the person-to-person connection still goes viral. And I think especially now, I mean, I think people discount the fact that if you meet someone on the street and they know you and you're not nice to them, because I've seen it happen with people who are known on television, and they go to their social media and they start saying, so-and-so is not nice. And then that becomes a thing. I love the person-to-person interactions and the grassroots. I hope that, you know, life in general goes more to that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Heather, there's always going to be a need for human touch. And I think one of the reasons that our stores, I mean, I have 108 now store of Kendra Scott stores across the country. And, you know, people are calling me without news because it's, you know, here we are in COVID, and in March I had to close my stores and then slowly figure out how to get them reopened with curbside and other things. And is it the death of brick and mortar? It's over. Retail is done. Right, it's all going to go online. And our business is even right now to last year, which is remarkable. And part of it is because our store isn't about just selling product. Our store is about human connection, about customer interaction. It's about, you know, we hosting Kendra Give Back events for local charities, like the one you mentioned, you know, having these moments in the store that are much more than just coming in to shop. The connection our employees make with our customers, you know, us going out into the community doing Kendra Cares events in hospitals where we're working with pediatric patients and their families, they meet our Kendra Scott employees, and that connection that they meet with them is unlike anything that you could experience in a typical brand. And so I think, you know, what we've done just naturally, this wasn't a master plan. It was just our priority that for me, success was we were going to gauge it on our ability to give back in a meaningful way. And we would look at our give back dollars, our give back hours, before I would even look at our revenue. And what was crazy is everyone was like, that is insane. There's no way you can run a business like this. And I said, that's the only way I want to run a business. And if it can't work this way, then I'd rather not do it. And it actually was the opposite. Good things happen when you do good things. Good things happen to good people. Kindness, love, joy is what we're really trying to spread with our brand. And now more than ever, those things are needed. And so for all these years, we've been out there in the community helping others. When COVID hit, our customers, those loyal, amazing customers, were like, we are here for you. And we love what you've done for our brand or for our communities, for our friends, for our family. And now we're going to be here for you. And it was just like, wow, right? I'd get these messages and letters of concern of like, what can we do to help you guys now that we're in this pandemic? And it was just an amazing thing to see. And we were both like, here we are out in the community giving 5 million meals during this time. And our customers are calling us going, we're in, what can we do? Let's help. I'm here for you guys. And it's been really remarkable.
I think that's great. You know, but I think one of the things that keeps striking me when you talk is hearing you say the word community. And again, I feel like it really just lends itself back to your upbringing and your family and how they gave you a sense of community. And that's what you're creating with your customer base. And I really think that's why you do get that sort of loyalty. It's amazing.
And it's not, you know, I think community is one of those things where you're here for one another. You pick each other up when you're down. You root for each other when you have successes. And we've created a culture in our company the same way. We are over 95% women in my business, a female founder. And a lot of people are like, how can you have all those women and it not just be bitchy?
Right.
And I'm like, because I hire on heart. And I always joke, like, I'm the principal of this high school and there's no bullies allowed. We are kind to one another. We love each other. We're there for one another. And when you create that culture, then that ability to also create that then with your customer family and do the same things for them, it's an amazing place to be in. And there's an energy, there's a light. When you walk into a Kendra Scott store, you feel it. When you walk into our corporate headquarters, you feel it. When you walk into our distribution center, you feel it. I said right now, the biggest problem for Kendra Scott is that we can't hug people because we're huggers. We're from the South. We're huggers. Welcome. So that's been our biggest struggle, I think, overcoming COVID right now. But it is a warmth. And, you know, like I said earlier, now more than ever, we need community. We need people holding hands, working together, loving one another, appreciating each other for our differences and celebrating those differences and really being there to lift each other up. And, you know, the more that we can do that and a little bit that my brand can help facilitate some of that, that makes us all get up in the morning and super excited about what we're doing.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
Sometimes I just need a break from everything. The drama, the friends, my husband, the kids, right? You know how it is. So get this. There's this app called World Winner where you can play your favorite games and compete to win real money. Yes, real cash prizes. You are going to love World Winner because it's really good, like me time, just really fun to unwind, but also scratch that little competitive itch. They prize out more than $250,000 every single day. So here's how it works. With the World Winner app, you can enter cash tournaments in a ton of fun casual games like Solitaire, Wheel of Fortune, Bingo, and Scrabble Cubes. There are more than a dozen games to choose from. So you pick a game and then choose from a bunch of different tournaments. Some are only 88 cents to enter. You'll get matched with opponents of similar skills, so it's an even playing field. And the winner scores cash prizes. You guys, some of these tournaments prize out at $20,000. You could play on your phone, tablet, or even your computer. Plus, you can withdraw your cash winnings whenever you want. Go to worldwinner.com/Heather to get the app plus up to $20 in free bonus bucks with your first deposit. Come on, let's play. You'll love it. Again, that's worldwinner.com/Heather.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's World.
Tell me, to that point, tell me about COVID, because you were part of the strike force to reopen Texas.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Who calls you? Like, Kendra, like, you're sitting on the couch, you got your kids, homeschooling. I don't know how that went for you. Not so bueno over here. You're homeschooling and you're doing your thing. And then you get the call from the governor?
Okay, so this is the best. It's Easter Sunday, okay? And I literally got a text message. And it said, hey, Governor Abbott here, calling about a coronavirus issue. Can you give me a call? And this is a random number on my phone. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I thought it was like somebody, you know, spamming, or like if you call it, it's going to, like, I don't know.
Steal your identity.
Governor,
yeah.
I'm like, this is not governor and a coronavirus issue. I mean, come on. Like, that's so broad. So I ignored it. Heather, I ignored the governor of Texas. And then on the next Monday, I'm getting ready and I'm blow drying my hair and I'm looking on the news and there's he's doing a conference. And I'm like, you know, what if it was him? And so I knew the First Lady of Texas's press, one of her PR people. And I texted her and I said, Lindsay, this is the craziest thing. And I know this, I'm so embarrassed to even ask you this, but I got a text message from this number who says it's the governor. And I just want to make sure it's not, because I'm watching a press conference. And if I ignore the governor, I feel really bad. She goes, no, that's the governor's cell phone. And I was like,
dying.
Oh my Lord. Oh my God. I can't believe this. So yes. So then I called, and he was like, oh, Kendra, how are you? And I told him the story. I said, Governor, I'm so sorry. I honestly did not believe it was you. And he goes, oh, did you think you were being punked? And I said, yes, I did think I was being punked. So it was quite a moment when you get a call to be asked of a group of leaders throughout your state to truly try to put heads together to figure out how to overcome something like a global pandemic, and that your opinion and that your thoughts are valued enough to even get that ask. So there was no question that I felt like, you know, regardless of it, political party or whatever, like this is a community issue. And I have so many friends in retail throughout the state, small stores, boutiques, restaurant owners, that beauty salon owners, I mean, you name it, that I felt like if I could help in some way, even if it was a small way, to have a little bit of a voice for them, that I couldn't say no. And it was really something. I mean, I think it's just so hard to navigate. I mean, there's days when, you know, you have an opinion, it may not be everyone else's opinion, but you're, I think everybody is just trying to figure out the best they can do every day. And it is that whole idea of pivoting and shifting and being agile and listening to the community of what the needs are and being super thoughtful about those needs. It still is, you know, the strike force is now, we're not working as the strike force anymore, but I think, you know, you still have that big responsibility to make sure you're doing everything you can to support your community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me about the boys. So you have three sons, right?
Yes, my three sons, just like the
my
old television
three sons.
Show.
How old are the boys?
So my oldest will be 19 on 11/11. I can't even believe it.
Crazy.
And so he was 3 months old when I started this business. And he went with me everywhere, Heather. I mean, if I had to go to New York for market, like, he went with me. He had like 70,000 frequent flyer miles when he was 3 years old. So
crazy.
He was like, oh, yeah, because I couldn't afford like to have a lot of, like, I had a babysitter here and there. My mom would help me. But when I was in the early stages of my business, I mean, it was bootstrapped. So I had to take him, and I'd have friends in New York. I'd be like, hi, can you babysit Cable? I'm at market today or whatever. So but my oldest is 19, and he is just remarkable. He's doing a gap year this year before he decided who's going to be a freshman in college. Would be so weird that he's like, you know, Mom, I'm going to go and backpack, and I'm going to take a wilderness survival course, and I'm going to like do all these cool animal conservation. I hope in Africa, if he can never get there with COVID, but he's got, you know, it's like, you're amazing. Go do that. I want to go with you.
Oh, yeah.
I can go with you. And then then my next is 16. And super, I mean, he just keeps me entertained all day long, super creative, musical, fun. And then the baby is 7. So we've got all sorts of dynamics happening in the house all at once. And
yeah,
so fun.
We have very similar, we have a similar age gap, but what I'm curious about is, you know, because Terry and I are always talking about, you know, how to keep our kids motivated when, you know, obviously, you know, their parents are, their mom is very successful. You know, she's not going to the trenches and the coal mines and to all these difficult jobs. I mean, your job is very difficult and you work very hard, but how do you keep them motivated? And how, like Terry always talks about, he had fear when he was growing up, and our kids are great, but they don't have fear. So we always like look to see what is going to motivate them and what's going to be their thing. Do you find that challenging with them? Do you think it's nature nurture?
I think, you know, for the older boys, I mean, they, especially my, you know, oldest son, I mean, he remembers when I was a single mom with the two of them. And, you know, I had was living on about $200 a week. My sister had to move in with me. And it wasn't easy for us then, you know, I mean, even though I tried everything in my power to make sure they didn't feel that way.
Right.
It was hard. Right. And, you know, so I think his viewpoint is probably a little different, but not that long after we started having more ability and more success. And I think for me, it's always been teaching them and showing them how the world is. And so both of my boys work at the local car wash. They wash all the neighbors' cars in our neighborhood. And yeah, it's the Scott boys that are cleaning their rims and washing their car. They have to earn their money. They've always had a savings account. They've always had to figure out how they were going to buy things that they wanted. And it wasn't just given to them. And, you know, I remember very clearly a few years ago, I had gotten my 14-year-old got his phone and he dropped it like 3 days after he got it and crushed the screen. And he came to me and he goes, Mom, and you know, he said, I've already figured out how I'm going to pay for this. And he had it worked out in how he was going to earn things and do chores around the house. And this is what he was going to do. And I was like, I was so proud in that moment. Cause I was like, you didn't just be like, Mom, my phone broke. Can you fix it? It was like, Mom, I shouldn't have put it where I put it. And I was like, honey, you know, look, I dropped my phone before. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But he was like, I'm taking care of this. I'm handling this. And I was really proud in this moment. So I think the only thing, you know, we're very philanthropic. The boys spend a lot of time with me. And we've been at Central Texas Food Bank passing out, you know, meals and food, groceries to, we see 1,000 cars in line right now through COVID. And people in tears who said, I never thought I'd be in this line. And my kids seeing those things, meeting those people. Thanksgiving, we you know, deliver meals to the homeless. I think it's just so important for them to have perspective and to understand how fortunate we are. And that because of that, we have a responsibility to do things to help other people. And that this is an incredible responsibility and gift that we've been given, but we have to give that gift back. And, you know, it's just, it's exposing them to those things and having it be a real topic of conversation on the daily, I think is also super important.
Yeah, I do.
And it's not perfect, right? It's not perfect, but like we're definitely, you know, it's getting us where in a different place with them that I think is good. And, you know, hopeful that it's going to take them for the rest of their life to have that mentality of, you know, yes, I have to work hard for what I get. I'm going to, and then when I get it, I'm not going to just keep it all for myself and, you know, buy. I'm going to also take some of that and figure out how I can do something good with it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think finding things for your kids to do in a charitable way that is kind of fun for them also. I mean, I agree with exposing them to things and people that they wouldn't normally be exposed to. And also, you know, having gratitude in the house, obviously number one. But I also feel like, you know, there's something about, you know, especially when they're really little, about making giving back fun is so great for them. Just things that they're excited about, I think is such a great way. Cause you know, we've worked with the food bank for many, many years, and they used to have these little fun events when they were little. So they were always a part of it even before they understood. And I think that's such a great thing to do with them.
Totally. I mean, the younger you can get them engaged and involved, and even simple things like going through their toys and saying, you know, we're going to help some other kids. And like, what toys are you ready to get rid of? And, you know, what kind of kid do you think would like this? And then bringing it to either the fire station at Christmas time or bringing it to wherever and seeing that happening is for my kids like, wow, like that teddy bear is now going on. And this kid who may not have gotten a teddy bear because their family can't, you know, afford that for them. I just gave that to them. And I love this teddy bear so much. And now someone else is going to love it. And then that feeling of how good it feels to give. Because I think, you know, we love presents when we're kids. We can go. But, you know, I always find more joy in giving than receiving. And I, you know, was taught that by witnessing that through my own family growing up. And I think that's, as parents, giving our children the joy and the gift of giving to someone else and getting them to feel that in their soul as young as possible will turn them into really empathetic, kind humans, adults later, I think.
I agree.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
I love to entertain, but you know what? Sometimes I want the disposable stuff, but you know what I don't want? I don't want stuff that looks cheap. What I love is when I found Chinette brand. Chinette brand is an incredible people-focused brand disguised as a premium disposable tableware brand. They pride themselves on being part of authentic human connections and playing an important role in togetherness because they've been a part of American culture for over 90 years. They provide durable plates, cups, cutlery, napkins, and table covers. Chinette brand is the go-to brand for cookouts, holidays, birthdays, game nights, baby showers, and so much more. Because they believe not only that everyone should have a place around the table, but that everyone should be welcome with open arms and a full cup. They have so many products: Chinette Classic, Chinette Crystal, and Chinette Comfort. Durable, no bends or leaks, microwave safe, and made right here in the USA with at least 80% recycled materials. And they can handle anything from the messiest ribs to the most generous slices of cake. Chinette brand is environmentally conscious. It's an easy cleanup and perfect for all of life's get-togethers. Visit mychinette.com, M-Y-C-H-I-N-E-T, mychinette.com to find out more.
Now, back to Heather Dubrow's World.
All right, tell me about Shark Tank, because I just think that's the coolest thing ever. How were you a fan of Shark Tank? How did that all come about?
Oh, I love Shark Tank. Are you kidding me? First of all, it's one of my favorite shows. I don't watch a lot of TV. And so for me, I mean, I'm into some series and, you know, things like that. But that has been a show that I have consistently watched season after season after season. And the reason I love it so much is I think for me, I would sit here in my living room or in my bedroom watching these entrepreneurs tell their story of creating something out of their garage or their bedroom and the struggles that they were going through. And I'd literally be sitting up in my bed like, yes, I know what you felt like. Oh my God, I remember, you know, those days. And I'd be like yelling things from my bed. I'm like, help them with this, or, you know, so-and-so give them money, or, you know, whatever. And so I, you know, my kids would actually laugh at me because I was very passionate about this show. And I would sometimes get upset too, because I'd feel like sometimes the sharks, you know, you have to be sharky, but I'm also like, God, I know the pain, the struggle that they're feeling. And I could feel that because I had gone through this, you know, American dream story of starting with only $500, going store to store with my jewelry in a tea box, having so many ups and downs, not having, you know, venture funding for 10 years or any funding other than bank loans and credit card debt. And watching a lot of these entrepreneurs, I just felt like, oh my gosh, I, you know, it would be such a dream to be able to be a shark. But never in a million years thought that that would be the case. And so this season, when, you know, I started talking to folks there just about various things, and then, yeah, they gave me a shot, and it really, I mean, within the first, after the first pitch, Heather, I felt right at home.
I loved it.
And it was so wonderful because I think right now this has been a scary time for our country and for you know, businesses in all facets. But to see that the entrepreneurial spirit is not just alive, but it is vibrant. And there are still so many people out there that have big dreams and have amazing ideas. And I think this season of Shark Tank really celebrates that American spirit of not giving up, not letting anything, even a pandemic, get you down, and to go after your dreams. And it just gave me incredible hope being on the set of that show and seeing these really inspiring entrepreneurs.
Well, I mean, what I'm so curious about with you is what's next? You have three healthy, great kids. You're happy. You got this great business. What's left on your list? You're young. What do you want to do? What haven't you achieved?
Oh my goodness. I don't know if it's as much about achievement as it is. I think, you know, I am really happy, Heather. I feel so blessed every day. I, you know, love spending time with my boys, and you are going to laugh, but I just bought an RV. This is for real. I bought an RV. I'm a single mom with these three boys, and I'm taking them camping in a few weeks. We're going to take the RV, the three boys and I, and my dog Duke. Right now I'm living for as many moments of connection with people that I love. And I think when you have a year like this, where you are forced to take a pause, it really opens your eyes up to the things that are truly important. And I think, you know, we can all go a million miles an hour, and I do. But I have such a great team of people at Kendra Scott, and I'm still so engaged and involved, but I can really, you know, fine tune the things that I can give the most, the most of my strengths to that can really help the business. But at the same time, I am just loving the opportunity and moments where I can also just take a breath and escape and be with the people that I love the most, which are my kiddos. And, you know, I think for me, it's like figuring out more of that as we continue to move forward. And then, you know, obviously the philanthropic side of me is I want to continue to do big things. I want to leave, you know, legacies where we're making a real impact to change things for the better. And so that's where my motivation has started from the beginning. And that's where it is still today, for sure. What motivates me.
That's amazing. I just adore you. I hope that when we're allowed to be out of lockdown and going to have lunch, we're going to plan that. And I just think you're incredible. So tell everyone how to find you on social media.
So you, of course, were Kendra Scott with two T's.com and then at Kendra Scott on Instagram. Also, we have the Women's Entrepreneur and Leadership Institute at the University of Texas, which is called the Kendra Scott Welly. There's lots of great content there for women who will be starting businesses. We have amazing mentors. We're doing a women's summit each year, where we're bringing in a very diverse group of leaders, not just entrepreneurs, but female leaders, whether that be leading female scientists, doctors, educators, you name it. And so we can really expose other women to other awesome women. So I also encourage everybody to take a look at what we're doing there as well.
I love that. And I'm going to post the link to that also, because I think that is incredible. I really believe the theme of this whole conversation has been community and connection, which I absolutely love. And it's the reason I do my show. So I'm so, so happy to have connected with you. And I hope our paths cross again very soon.
Don't worry, Heather. I'm going to be driving up to your beautiful house in Beverly Hills in my RV with a hat on, with a bottle of wine in the back for us.
Sister.
But don't worry.
Open invitation anytime, Kendra. You got it.
All right, love. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
I pre-recorded this a couple of days early, so I have no idea who the president is at this moment. And I'm hoping it'll be known by the time you listen to this. So I have no idea what's going on, but I hope everything's okay. And the only thing, one thing that I do want to say is I'm so proud of how many people went out and voted. That to me is really, really incredible. And I'm proud of everyone, including myself and my family, for doing that. I hope everyone has an incredible weekend. And thank you so much for listening. Again, I have no idea what's going on in the world right now, but I will be back next week and we will regroup then. Thank you guys so much. If you have a quick sec, go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Thursday and Friday on Podcast One, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And please make sure to subscribe to the show and leave a lovely 5-star rating. Go to Apple Podcasts and say how much you love Heather Dubrow's World. See you next week.
Hey,
Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.